Amen. Last Thursday was Ascension Day. Ascension Day happens 40 days after Easter. It's one of those kind of in-between church holidays. You know, it doesn't happen on a Sunday, so unless you are a Roman Catholic or Orthodox, you tend to forget it. Us Protestants don't spend a lot of time thinking about Ascension, except that it is one of the appointed readings for the Sunday right afterwards. So here we are, almost at the end of the Easter season, getting ready next Sunday for one of my favorite days of the whole year, Pentecost. We get to change to red, nothing against gold and white, but we get to change to red, and we celebrate the Holy Spirit. So this is kind of one of those in-between things that we're really not sure quite what to do with. The story of the Ascension appears in two places, actually by the same author. It appears at the very end of the book of the Gospel of Luke and at the very beginning of the book of Acts. And we believe that both Luke and Acts, even though they're separated by the Gospel of John, were written by the same person. Why the people who put the whole thing together separated them is beyond me. But they did, and so there you go. We get John in between Luke and Acts. But Luke and Acts were written by the same person. It was as if there wasn't enough in gospel to say everything that the author wanted to say. He wanted to talk about the life of Jesus, but he also wanted to talk about the early church. And so these two pieces are present in the New Testament. As we look at Easter and Ascension and move toward Pentecost, there's one thing that's pretty clear. Nobody was there to be an eyewitness to the resurrection. Mary shows up that morning, the morning right after resurrection, and finds the tomb empty. Praise the Lord. But nobody actually saw anything. So we have then these 40 days where Jesus did appear to his disciples, and I believe also to Mary and his Mary Magdalene, to other women, and to his family, because that's pretty clear in terms of the reading that you heard just now. He continued to appear for 40 days, but couldn't stay forever, it appears. And so we have this 40 days following Easter, this story of the Ascension. The disciples and the women and the family, they were all gathered, it says, about a Sabbath's day journey from where they were staying. And there are a number of different ways of reading how far that is. I've read in one place that it's about a half a mile. I read in another place that it's about 3/4 of a mile. We don't use the same measurement systems today that they used then. So we're really not exactly sure about how far it was, but it wasn't far. And if you go to Israel today, there is a place that is considered the place of the Ascension, and there's a small kind of, not quite round, it's got various sides to it, piece, and it's gated off, and people gather once a year to celebrate the Ascension. So there they all were. Jesus gives a few last words, and then the scripture tells us he went up into heaven. And then those who watched stood there looking up. There they were, looking up. When two, it says, men robed in white, angels, we believe, were they the same two that were at the tomb? Who knows? We don't know. Some commentators say it was Moses and Elijah. We don't know. But they come and they say, why are you standing there looking up? You know, are you just caught in the moment? Standing there looking up? It's kind of like, now what are we supposed to do? And So they're told to go back to where they were staying and to wait and to wait. And so that's exactly what they did. They went back and they waited. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for Pentecost. They were waiting for a few more days. But while they waited, they did something. They stayed together. They prayed. They fellowshiped with one another. They waited for God to do something. And that something happened then on Pentecost. What did Jesus tell them they were waiting for? Well, he said, by the way, it's not over when I'm gone. You shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. And he wasn't just talking about those folks gathered that day in that upper room. He wasn't just talking about those who were standing looking up. He was talking about every single follower of Jesus in the years that were ahead. You shall be my witnesses. What does this mean for us? Four things. Well, three, sort of. Two and three are kind of together, so, you know. First of all, it's up to us. Now, if you look at that small group of people who were gathered there in that upper room waiting, who do you see? Fishermen, a tax collector, some people who denied Jesus. You know, Simon was there, Peter. He denied Jesus three times. So it was, as Reverend Brad is wont to say, a motley crew. Group of people that really didn't have much by earthly standards. They were not exactly rich. They didn't exactly have much worldly standing. The reality of it is they were a lot like us. Flawed human beings. Flawed human beings. Just like us. But you know what? Jesus left it up to them and to us to share the good news. Now that seems maybe like quite a task. But number two, the good news is we don't do it by ourselves. Even though it is up to each of us, we don't do it by ourselves. We do it because the Holy Spirit empowers us in those moments when we know we can share good news. Something wonderful. You know, I think one of the wonderful things about sharing good news is simply storytelling. We tell the stories about what God has done in our lives. And all of us have a story, I hope. I don't think you'd be here if you didn't have some kind of story about what brought you here, about why you're here, about what God's done in your life. Joel is famous for saying, King of Peace saved his life. Saved his life. I got an email from someone else not long ago who really didn't have any religious experience, much to speak of at all, and yet has found his voice here at King of Peace. And it's really not just about us. I don't care if people come here or go somewhere else. Although I'd rather they came here. It is about finding a place where you can experience the love of God. A community to support you. Just like Fred earlier said, thank you so much for the prayers that have come my way. I know that too. And others know that as well. He told Reverend Jake recently, Reverend Susie told Reverend Jake, you know, you've got people praying for you. You know, on at least one occasion upstairs, we lit a candle for Jake. So it stayed lit during the day while we went about our daily work. We lit a candle for him. See, we don't do this alone. We don't do it alone. We do it with others. We do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that's just on us. It's not just on me. I can only be in one place at a time. I know you find that hard to believe. But really, I can only be in one place at a time. But think of how many people are here. Think of how many people have joined us on Facebook or on the internet in some way. Think of all of the places where we can be to share our stories of what God has done in our lives. That's what Jesus asked the disciples to do, and as Jesus' disciples, that comes down to us as well. So we don't do this by ourselves. We do it because the Holy Spirit empowers us, and we do it because we gain strength from one another. That's points 2 and 3 together. Because we gain strength from one another, and then we come together and share the stories. Guess what happened this week? Guess what happened this month? Guess how I was able to share good news with someone who needed it the most? Number 3. Question. When? Do we stand here, eyes lifted up, waiting? No. Just like those two men in white told the disciples, you can't stand here forever. You can't stay here forever. You have to go. When do you do that? Right now. Well, wait till service is over. The reality of it is we have good news to share. And we have a community of people that don't know, guess what, don't even know we exist. I hear that all the time. These people go to have lunch and they come back and they say, you know, I was talking to my waiter and he didn't even know about King of Peace. Do you know why we're putting out banners and stuff now? And you're going to see more stuff too over time as our marketing team gets itself in gear even more and running and going. It's up to us. This morning, I left it upstairs in my office. Do you have one? This morning, Chris and Dawn gave me a card. They gave me a little card. They're going to hand them out at Pride, I think, but it's good. They're good to have. And they have the transgender flag on one side and King of Peace MCC, and then you turn it over, and it talks about where we are, what our phone number is, what our website is, what our Facebook page is, so they can hand them out. You don't know about King of Peace? Here's something for you to be able to find out a little bit more about who we are. Do we talk about our experiences? About what God has done in our lives? Do we talk about it? Or do we go home happy that we've had a good worship experience? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? I'll let you wait one more week. Because next week we celebrate Pentecost. So you got a whole week. 1 week. I'll give you 1 week. But I hope in this week, even if you are still waiting for Pentecost for next week, I hope in this week you take the opportunities to say something to somebody about what King of Peace has meant to you. What it has meant to you. Because I know there are stories here. I know there are lots of stories here. We probably have over 200 people here. There are stories here. There are stories out there. If you've got a story, let me know about it. And just don't let me know about it. Talk about it with somebody else. Because in the meantime, people are waiting. People are waiting because they're hurting, because they're curious, because they know something is lacking in their lives. You know, I came back to God because I knew something was lacking in my life. I grew up in church, you know, just taken every Sunday. My family always went to church. And I learned a lot in those growing up years. I went to Sunday school, went to Vacation Bible School, participated in the Christmas pageant. I think I was Mary one year. I always wanted to be Joseph, but you know, they didn't allow that kind of thing back then. I think one year I was even an angel. That was a big stretch. But I grew up in the church. I got to college, you know how it is. I kind of drifted away for a while. I found my way back for a little bit. And I went into the service. It's Memorial Day. I went into the Marine Corps. Drifted away again. But I knew something was missing in my life. I knew something was lacking. And I suddenly realized that what it was my relationship with God, found in a community. And so I got myself back to church. See, we're here to support one another because you can't do it by yourself. You can only do it when the Holy Spirit is with you and there are others to encourage you on your journey. So exactly what is it are you waiting for? I give you an invitation to share your story. That's what the disciples did. All they had was a story to tell, a story of what Jesus had meant to them in their lives. And when they shared that story, other people said, I want that too. Well, all you need to do was give your heart over. That was it. So what are you waiting for? Who are you waiting? Who's waiting to hear your story? Because before Jesus comes again, in the meantime, he's left it up to us. This flawed group of human beings who seek to follow Jesus. He left it up to us to share the good news of our stories about what God has done for us in Jesus. I'll give you off 1 week. But I even hope in that week you find an opportunity to share your story with someone who needs to hear it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? God, sometimes it seems as if it's up to somebody else. It's up to somebody else to tell their story. It's up to the preacher to preach. It's up to the choir to sing. It's up to the greeters to greet and the ushers to usher. It's up to somebody else. But you're reminding us, God, that it really is up to us to tell the story of what you have been doing in our lives, of the healings that we've experienced, of the relationships that are restored because of you, of the friendships that we've gained, of the blessings that you've given into our lives. Thank you for our stories. Now, give us the courage to share our stories with someone who knows they need something more. We know that something more is you. So give us courage to share our stories with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The ushers will